Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord and happy Palm Sunday. Welcome to Amazing Grace, Extraordinary Truth. I am your host, Elder Lydia, and we're embarking upon a series entitled The Heart of Forgiveness. The Heart of Forgiveness. Have you ever felt like you've been pushed beyond the brink of your limits to how much you're able to forgive? It's as if you can get no rest, you have no peace, your spirit is failing you, and you've descended into a pit and just don't know what to do from there because you just are so frustrated, with this person that has been an offender. Nevertheless, forgiveness is the healing balm of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. And as we begin this series on the heart of forgiveness, let's take a look at what forgiveness is not, and keeping in mind that God has given us a mandate in his word that we must forgive. Let's take a look at some scriptures. I hope you have your Bible and your notebook, pencil in hand, and so you can take down these scriptures and study them for yourself so that you are fully persuaded of what it says in the word of God so that we can all, amen, get ourselves ready for that great day when the Lord calls us home. Amen. Ephesians 4, verses 31 and 32, it says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Colossians 3:13. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Matthew 6, verses 14 and 16. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. My God, my God. Matthew 18, verses 21 and 22. Then came Peter to him and said, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him, till seven times? Jesus said unto him, until seven times, but until 70 times seven. 2 Corinthians 2, verses 5 through 8. This is Paul speaking, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation on this one. I am not overstating it when I say that the man who caused all the trouble hurt all of you more than he hurt me. Most of all, most of you opposed him, and that was punishment enough. Now, however, it is time to forgive and comfort him. Otherwise, he may be overcome by discouragement. So I urge you now to reaffirm your love for him. Luke 6 and 37, judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Luke 17, verses 3 and 4, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Luke 23, verses 33 and 34. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on his right hand and the other on his left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgive them. They don't know who I am. Forgive them, Father. They don't realize the impact that this event will have on their lives. Forgive them. Their perception is clouded by evil. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. the words of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus forgives our sins, but we must forgive others in order to remain forgiven ourselves. I read to you the scripture already that lets us know if we do not forgive, we will not be forgiven. And just like in the day when Jesus spoke those words, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. It is true. They had no idea who Jesus was. They had no idea the impact that that event was going to have on their lives. And they were absolutely, their perception was clouded by evil. And the same is true when we do harm to others and when others do harm to us. They don't realize who we are. Not in God, they don't. They don't recognize the impact that that event that took place will have on their lives, nor do they realize the impact that it will have on ours. And they most certainly, and as are we, clouded by evil when we do evil to others. So they need forgiveness, and so do we. When we cannot forgive others, we are taking for granted the enormous sin debt that was paid for us by Jesus. We have all sinned against God and against one another, and God has forgiven us, and we must also forgive. Now, this is what forgiveness is not. Number one, hope you're writing this down. Forgiveness is not approval. In John verse 8, chapter 8, I'm just going to begin reading. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him and sat down, and he taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and he said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Jesus did not approve of her sin, but he did forgive her sin. We are not expected to approve, just forgive. Forgiveness does not imply endorsement. Number two, forgiveness is not excusing the behavior. In Numbers 14 and 9, Moses appealed to God to forgive Israel's sin. He wasn't asking God to excuse it. He was asking God to forgive it. We are not expected to cover for the sins of others, nor are we expected to try to explain it away. We are only expected to forgive. Number three. Forgiveness is not justification. Evil cannot be justified or made right. God will never call anything evil right, and he does not require us to do that either. Number four, forgiveness is not pardoning. A pardon is a legal transaction that releases the offender. If it was a crime committed, although you may have forgiven the offender, the law may still prosecute the offense, and the offender may be brought to justice even should you decide to request leniency. Number five, forgiveness is not reconciliation. Although it could result in reconciliation, forgiveness does not require it. The offender may have already passed away before you got the opportunity to forgive. Or it could be that it was an adulterous spouse or a friendship that, although the bitterness and desire to punish them may be gone, the forgiveness, of course, is genuine. The relationship perhaps can never be the same. Or perhaps there can be reconciliation or restoration. Reconciliation is just that. It's the restoration of a friendship. But forgiveness doesn't require reconciliation. We hope that that is the case, but it's not always. Some relationships should remain unchanged after the forgiveness. Number six, forgiveness is not denial. Denial of events or repressing those hard-to-deal-with matters always have a negative effect on us, spiritually and naturally so, and can manifest in many ways like moodiness, anger, outbursts, panic attacks, migraines, and headaches. So forgiveness is not denial. So we also always keep up front, yeah, this actually did happen. I don't have to deny it happened. It actually happened. We're not trying to make ourselves sick spiritually or naturally. This happened. Number seven, forgiveness is not blindness. We're not expected to act as though we didn't see the offense, nor are we to pretend it never took place. Although we are to keep no record of the wrongs, true forgiveness does not mean it never existed. Number eight, forgiveness is not forgetting. Some memories are indelibly etched in our minds forever, and that being positive or negative memories. So saying forgive and forget are not realistic. It's not a realistic saying. It is proof of greater grace to be fully aware of the situation and still be able to forgive. Forgiveness number nine is not refusing to take the offense seriously. We must be able to clearly see the seriousness of the matter when forgiving. We are not expected to shrug it off as insignificant. Number 10, forgiveness is not pretending that it doesn't hurt. Pain is painful. When a spouse is unfaithful, it hurts. There's no need to pretend that it doesn't. But there is no sin too great that God does not forgive us. He knows exactly who we are. He knows exactly what we've done and why we've done it. He doesn't make excuses for it. He does not approve of it. He doesn't pretend it doesn't grieve him. He doesn't refuse to take it seriously. He doesn't act as though he can't see it. He calls it what it is, and he forgives us in spite of us. We are required to do the same. Stay tuned with us for the next part in this series, The Heart of Forgiveness, when we'll take another look at what forgiveness is, and this time we'll be looking at what forgiveness really is. Thank you for being with us this week. Till next time, be blessed, be whole, and be amazing.